us for Kōrero. He's the chair of Ngāti Porou Forestry and has many other hats as well. He's a very experienced governor of Māori Kaupapa. And today we are talking about some of the dynamics that Ngāti Porou Forests are confronted by the situation and the recent report by Hekia Parata. And I thank you for joining us on the program, Whaimutu Tenakwe. Thanks for joining us.
Kia ora, Dale.
Kia ora. Ngāti Porou Forests manages forestry joint ventures between the Ngāti Porou Landowners and Forest Investors. It employs around 7 full-time staff, 70 full-time equivalent contract employees. So it is a significant player in our forestry sector on the coast. As an overview, before we start talking, please, Faye, could you just share with us some of the damage? How many acres does NPFL manage, and what were some of the difficulties that resulted off the back of the cyclonic activity of recent times? What's the lay of the land, so to speak, Faye?
Literally, the forests that we manage are spread right throughout the Ngāti Porou Rohe, from just north of Uawa up to Porekaiga. So we didn't see the extremes in hill collapse and river flooding. We saw river flooding, but not in the blocks that we manage. We did see road damage, and of course access was impossible in a lot of places. So the physical impact on the physical environment in the blocks that we manage was how do we describe it? It was moderate. Right, as compared to extreme, the stuff we saw has been highlighted in the media. If you take a scale of 1 to 10, and whole hillsides collapsing and filling in rivers is 10, then we were probably at about half of that, halfway up. And so we were saved from the, sheltered from the most. From the most severe impacts by virtue of the fact that we still had tree coverage in most of the places, and the water was able to get away. It wasn't blocked up.
Well, that's reassuring. How many acres of forest are under the organisation's control?
I have to go back and do the conversion to get it back into acres, Dale. Hectares
are fine. Just a sort of rough estimate.
I would say we are managing now 10,000 round figures.
10,000 hectares. Well, look, the fact that it didn't slip away off the hills under your control is a credit to the planning and foresight of yesteryear. So the slash that's ended up being so problematic. The majority of it not coming off the forests overseen by Ngāti Porou Forests. That's encouraging too. Was it good planning, good planting that saw that situation? Or was it just because you were very considered in what areas you did plant?
There's always an element of good fortune here. Because the rain that some of the catchments has sustained, the soakage was not as heavy where our forests are located, and where they were able to get away. So that is just down to the lie of the land, literally. All right, and a good number of the majority of our blocks do not have the same severe slope that we saw that were collapsing in the back of Te Karaka here in Aitanga Maki and Rongopakata territory. So we don't have that greater than 65 degrees slope. Those we do have them, but but they weren't the ones in the most heavily affected rainfall areas. And the other thing is there is a bit, we will take a bit of credit for the foresight in that our forests, however, this is we do not have the longitudinal evidence to say this was a major contributing factor. However, we are happy to see that in our forests, which have got a larger riparian set off than the forest standard area set off, we've got 30% to 30%, nearly 30% of our forest managed area is set off from riparians or with native bush reserves. So we haven't planted them. If they were planted, we have let them regenerate and back into the local vegetation. And that has, we believe that has had an impact on the water quality going forward, going backward, as well as when we get these deluges. However, we do not discount the fact that if the rain had come, it had concentrated itself on the East Cape area more, as Cyclone Bola did, then we don't think we would have been as fortunate as we have just now. So we don't. Although we are counting our blessings, we don't think that we're immune from future events.
Tēnā koe.
So we do need to get on with training.
Tēnā koe. So there's a combination of good fortune and good practice, which is encouraging. The report was hastily put together, but comprehensive, and it's been well received. The one that's overseen by Hekia. What did you make of that report? How useful will it be for the organisation planning strategies going forward, Fai?
Well, firstly, it was a ministerial inquiry into land use. And it was a very serious. It was a very serious response to a very, very serious situation, of course. And this is just in relation to land use, and in particular, in the short term, the issues posed by slash and other debris, erosion and flooding in the rivers. So, the fact that the Honourable Hekia Porata was the head gave it, and with her. And with her personal drive, I think it did help. For people to take the report seriously. We take it seriously. We're going to. The report released something like 44 pages, I think, is disarmingly short, brief. It was done quickly, but they were given a time frame. They did get a bit of an extension, but they did cast their net quite widely. So it does have very far-reaching recommendations, 49 recommendations, and each of them we will go through and relate those back to our workforce and our landowners' situations, plural, and see what the impacts are and how we can go forward with those. Some of them are reasonably straightforward. Others will take a lot of thought and examination, analysis, testing, etc. But we're taking the approach that it was a serious response to a serious situation, and it does go right through to the heart of the matter. And that is, whatever we may say about some of the details and where we might have difficulty or otherwise with the executing the in accordance with the recommendations. What we wouldn't argue with at all is the way the report has expressed the vision in terms of what success looks like 100 years out, and that is that. We have got a vibrant, healthy ecosystem, including our people, and our economy, and our whenua Māori, etc. So we all agree on that, and it's a question of how quickly we can get on that path and how well. We are currently very preoccupied with making sure that our workers and their whānau are well and are well looked after, and also we'll come up with options for our landowners going forward as well.
Tēnā koe, the report did factor in council's complicit nature here. Obviously, we want to generate income for communities that are reliant on bread and butter on the table. But in order to achieve some of the profits out of forestry, some practices need to be reviewed, and that's appropriate. What would you say of the combination needed to address the challenges going forward? And let's assume there will be another weather event that will also be devastating if left unchecked. So we've got the foresters, we've got the kaimahi, the clean-up crews, the council and Māori interests. Are you satisfied that with a combination of all working collectively, we can find a better way forward?
I've got no doubt if we're able to work together collectively, then we'll find a way forward. I've actually got no doubt we'll find a way forward. It's just how quickly we get on the right way. And I say by right way, I mean, and that is the agreed way, then we'll, that's where the, I think that's where the real test is. And the, and look forward to being able to talk with central government, as well as with local government, as well as with our own, together with our people, to see that we do get that vision agreed and go forward. As I said, 49 recommendations and only 44 pages. The math says there's more than one recommendation per page. But that's the detail that the report goes into, and the impact of some of those strike have quite a significant impact on how we go forward with our land use and planning and execution. So one of the things that we have in Ngāti Porou and with a forestry company is offering land use options to our owners, to our people, and therefore the keeping their options for the future open and not close, because it is all for future generations, Dale. I mean, that's how we see it. We're not a forestry company. We're a land use management company that happens to know a little bit about trees, and land use is the best use for the majority of our land. Forestry of some sort is the best use for the majority of our land. Be that forests that are going to stay there and just regenerate themselves, that is not harvested. I think people use the term permanent. No forest is permanent. All even in our Cody forest, we see they drop. So anyway, that's just me. But in our forest that will stand and regenerate themselves, not be harvested, and we have production forests and we have those in between. And there'll be exotics and there'll be natives. And there'll be other land uses. So we want to make sure that our landowners see those options and are able to execute in the way that they see fit, not the way that the local government bodies say, and not the way the central government thinks they should. That's part of our current issue, is that the government, I'm going to use an impolite term, had brain farts every 30 years, and we, unfortunately, have been on the smelly end of some of those. So we want to make sure that it's our view based on what we see as good for us, based on our experience intergenerationally. Long way of saying, no mātou te whenua, kei a mātou te kōrero. Trying to get that through to all the agencies is sometimes difficult, but I think with the majority of the recommendations that the Land Use Inquiry has thrown up, I think there is a way to be able to get that integrated approach and be successful in its execution.
Tēnā koe, thanks for sharing some kōrero with us, whai matū. I look forward to another conversation soon. Ngā mihi.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Whamutu Jews is the chair of Ngāti Porou Forestry.